the only Savior that God recognizes. I believe there's only some worship that God recognizes. It's an important subject. All that we do and everything that we've come together for today and the reason that we're here is to worship God Almighty in spirit and in truth. Much said about worship. You look on your song books, it says praise and worship. Imagine if your books are like ours, I can go through them and I can find some songs that don't worship Him. But there again, it's part of our responsibility. So we want to speak to you for a few minutes about the only worship that God recognizes. Guides in and blesses. Matthew 9:18, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but there's a story of the young ruler that came before Christ. He had a burden on his heart. But I believe there was something else there. He knew who Christ was. And he came out there in the middle of the street and he said he bowed down at Jesus' feet and worshiped Him. We'll get back to that just a little bit later. I want to read some random verses from the Scripture on the subject of worship. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." There isn't anything more beautiful, I believe, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There isn't anything more beautiful to you or you to me than the holiness in God's people's lives. So that's what we're supposed to have in order to worship Him. In the book of Psalms, 96, division and verse 9, it says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." There's a forgotten word, along with repentance, is fear of the Lord. There isn't any today. You don't tell church people what the Bible says. Oh, I know all of that. Don't see them again for another month or two until you go see them. No fear of God. Matthew chapter 4, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." John 4:24, and this has been mentioned, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I'll inject right here and probably say a little bit more about it later on, but you can't separate those two. Amen. You can't worship God separate and apart from the Spirit, and you can't be spiritual separate and apart from the truth. Amen. You can't say, and I've had people tell me this, "Oh, we feel the Lord leading us to do this." In no way, shape, or form will God lead people to join a false church, amen, false religion, and do things contrary to this book. Brother Asbury preached the other night, and I really love these messages, because that's what they're all about. You believe in the sovereignty of God, that you got to worship Him that way. You believe that the Lord started the church, you got to worship Him that way. That's worship. Believing that He started this, that He has a church. Some man hasn't started it. Matthew 28, we don't have to turn to that, that's been read and reread, but of course it says that all power is given unto Him. And as Brother Asbury said, that's a pretty good person to go to, you know, one that's got all power. Well, that's a pretty good person to worship too. I want somebody on my side, I want the one with all the power. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Read that one to you. Not Deuteronomy, but in the book of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. We get the right perspective of who we are and who God is, a whole lot easier to worship Him. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Well, I've had a lot of people, you know, over the last few years, God dumped on them. You know, God did them dirty. He didn't have any right to treat them that way. God's God. He has the right to do anything He wants to with any one of us to His honor and glory. That song we sang, that's my favorite song, I think, Trust and Obey, in a certain sense. Because it says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our world. Authority. Great need today is true worship. There's much being done. Of course, this has been said too, but in our day that is not of God. Many people, many churches playing games, playing church. It's our responsibility. It is not worship. It is not. God will not honor it. God will not accept it. God will not bless it. Amen. Might as well not do it. They'd be better off not to do it. In 2 Timothy, I believe it mocks God. Makes a mockery of the real thing. 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about in the last days that perilous times will come. And down in the 5th verse it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I believe that's just exactly where we are. Churches and people have a form of worship, but denying the power thereof, and therefore they go on about and do it their own way. God's not blessed. They're not. God's not praised. God's not lifted up, and it's not worship. Amen. The reason that so much sin among us today, because it's not preached against in the sense of real worship. Amen. You know what the old idea is, you don't sin, you're worshiping God, and that's not it at all. If you're spiritual and you love the Lord, that will keep you from doing some things and will make you do some other things. Amen. Going through the motions of worship, denying the power thereof, that's where we're at. If I ask you to pray for me for one thing, I'd ask you to pray that God puts forth His power on my ministry. I know that I can't do it. I've sat with people for 2, 3, 4 hours. You can't get the job done without the power of God, without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. All right, only those, Brother Paul preached about, only those that the only Savior has saved, or the only Savior that God recognized has redeemed, washed in His precious blood, caused by godly sorrow, repentance, and faith in their lives, can worship God. Only those. God is spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Flesh cannot worship God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath He quickened who were dead, made alive. John tells us that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Worship. Amen. Seek those things that please God, that you can fellowship with God and walk with God. I like the old testimony of old Enoch over there, you know, where he said he walked with God. He found favor because he was faithful. And you know, it's not something that has to be stirred up or worked up in the energy of the flesh or emotion, but it is something that springs from a heart filled with love and filled with the knowing of the goodness and greatness of our great God. As John tells us again, 1 John says in chapter 5, that these things are written that you might know that you have everlasting life. That you might know Him and know about the things that He has determined to give unto them that will faithfully serve. You know the sad part, and I know you're all aware of this, but maybe you're not all aware of it, but the majority of a church's time is spent not seeking the lost, not even preaching the gospel, but trying to get church members to serve the Lord. And that's the reason, I believe, that causes many churches to turn to carnal programs and fleshly inducements. Cannot worship in the flesh. You know, one of the saddest things I believe is going to happen is, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. To me, I think this is just going to be a tremendously sad thing. Many of you already know what I'm talking about. I believe it's serving the Lord in the energy of the flesh. It's not worship. God's not going to accept it at worship. And in that day, they're going to be turned aside because he's going to say, as he says here, he says in that day, or he says in verse 21 of chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me. So you can say the right things, you can know the right scripture, and you can even go through the motions, but it won't mean a thing. See, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works, many wonderful works, according to the flesh. We got all of this stuff going on, you know, with the PTL and the 700 Club and all of this other garbage. Not worship, folks. Not worship. Waste of time. But in the eyes of the world, I've had people come to me at work that don't know what I am and who I am, and they'll start asking me questions about that stuff. And you know, they said he's going to cause that great ministry to go down the drain. I said, in my opinion, there was never a ministry there. I believe in one ministry. I believe in a God-called ministry. And I believe it's the local New Testament Baptist Church. Amen. Going through the motions. Sad part, he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. But they've done many wonderful things in his name. Many wonderful works. You put that stuff down out there in the world, it won't be long, you'll have a name that you don't care about people, you don't love anybody. We have responsibility, first of all, Lord, to love the Lord. Amen. Love His church and love His people. So the young ruler came to Jesus. Tells us that the Bible tells us he was a ruler of the synagogue. You know what it cost him to publicly get on his knees out there in the middle of that street and worship Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? But he came himself, he came by faith, made a public profession. Identified himself with Jesus Christ. That's another purpose of our assembly. It's another purpose of our entire lives, is to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Our worship, the worship as we assemble together. The primary purpose has always been to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's been turned around a little bit. We're supposed to come in and worship our great God and Savior in spirit and in truth, feast upon His Word, be strengthened and grow, and go out into the world and do His work. Because of convenience and a lot of other modern things, I believe churches have been turned into a saving station, and we've gotten way away from the worship area. I believe we ought to preach the gospel every time we preach. Amen. But our worship reflects our opinion of God. How we worship, how we approach Him, is a direct reflection of what we think of Him. I heard people say, "Oh, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in a great God," and they'll turn right around the next breath, but we got to win the world for Christ. Makes me want to ask him, did he get sick? Isn't he able to do his work anymore? Because I don't see anything in here that's not done. Everything that is done, that is going to be done by him. Where is he at in our lives? Now, I want to make three or four statements here. According to Scripture, I want you to listen real close. True worship is based on a revelation from God. You cannot ever go out and dream up something on your own or do something that you think is right if you don't know that God, that's exactly what God wants. That's presumption on our part. Amen. True worship is always based on revelation from God. Amen. As led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Turn with me for just a minute to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I'm going to use the Old Testament. I hope that's all right. I don't believe God's any different than He was then. I don't think He's changed any. It came to pass in Revelation and Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." Well, you know, you can just read this and you can get some real good stuff out of it. He was where he could hear God. It didn't take him a week or a month to find out where he was living or where he'd moved or anything like that. He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." He didn't have to tell God he loved him, did he? God knew he loved Isaac. "Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. I imagine Abraham was a whole lot like some of us. I bet he spent a kind of a sleepless night. I can only imagine he did, but I think he did. But you know, there's no evidence that if he was like a lot of us, we'd have probably... Well, God really doesn't mean that, you know. We'll take along another offering, just... We'll take along a lamb or something, just to be sure, you know. But he didn't do any of that. Said he rose up the next day and he immediately proceeded to do what God instructed him to do. Amen. Now that's worship. Amen. That's obedience. Amen. And that's blessed. Amen. So many of our people, they want to know, they want the blessings of God. They're not willing to listen to God. They're not willing to be where they can hear God, and they're not willing to be obedient to what God says. I know, but. You know, you can know this book from cover to cover and not miss a word, and it won't be a blessing to you at all. Unless you're willing to do what it says. God says, man acts in response. No evidence here that he stayed up all night and talked it over with Sarah to see if it was all right. I'm not knocking women, don't get me wrong. But that's what so many people do. Had a family leave our church last year. Woman did all the talking. The reason they left, the reason they gave for leaving was that their 7-year-old son didn't want to come to church. True worship is based on a revelation from God. They wanted to see him saved. God says, and man acts in response. And we want the blessings of God on our life. We're going to have to honor the Word of God. The Bible, I believe, is God saying to us, and Abraham here acted in response to God, not what he thought would please God. See, anytime we think different than what God says, that's presumption. God's not indebted or doesn't owe us anything on that. The only thing God is bound to do is exactly what His Word says He will do, and He will do exactly that. I'm glad He does. I can lay hold of these precious promises, and I can know with every bit of assurance God will do just exactly what He said He will. That's a blessing to me. See, we do not act in ignorance. God does not expect us to act in ignorance. He expects us to act in an intelligent, responsible way in obedience to His command. And there again, you know, our worship, I said our worship reflects our opinion of God. Our worship reflects our love of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There's a whole lot of people trying to convince me they love the Lord. Not even willing to attempt to keep His commandments. We want you to see, the main thing we want you to see here is that faith always follows a previous revelation. I cannot believe, as I think of Cain and Abel over here, I cannot believe that Cain didn't have as much knowledge in what God would accept as Abel did. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear, we act in obedience. And we can go all the way back in this book and we can see that as God instructed His people, that obedience is always better than sacrifice. It's always a whole lot better for me to be obedient to God than to have to sacrifice later on. Presumption. When we act in spirit and in truth, we know that God will accept it. He promised to. You take faith away from God's instruction, even to Abraham here, and you have something that the world would look at as attempted murder. Did you notice he stopped here? And let's read on a couple verses. In verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." They went and did in obedience, worshiped God. I believe we'll see maybe just a little bit later on how that those two young men can represent a lot of things of the world. Our thoughts, our ideas, things that we ought to leave on the outside as we come in to worship God. Leave out of our thinking, out of our lives. Anything that would hinder us from being everything that God would have us to be. All work of the Lord must be guided by the word of the Lord. Our authority is not in the traditions of men. Not how long we've done anything. Or how we've been taught or by who we've been taught. Our authority rests in the clear revelation of God and His Word. It's great, don't get me wrong. I praise the Lord for faithful men and women that have been faithful for years, but they've been faithful for one reason, because they've been surrendered, obedient to the will of God. Next, we must worship, or worship is conditional on faith in and obedience to that divine revelation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. You can even do the right thing and not be blessed by it if you don't believe it's what God wants you to do. Verse 2, the revelation came to Abraham. Verse 3 was his direct response in obedience. Unquestioning, prompt, and completely yielded to the will of God.
Amen.
Surrendered.
Amen, brother.
He obeyed God's command. Do we? How often we don't. Hebrews 11:17, the statement is made, I believe, a glorious statement about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Simple, but true.
Amen.
Didn't argue with God. So also the young ruler, and so also us. There's nothing in this book that we cannot apply to ourselves and should not apply to ourselves. The young ruler could have said, and maybe might have said in his heart, Lord, do I really have to go out there in the middle of that street and get down on my knees before this fellow that people are after? Well, I believe the answer was yeah. Yes, it does. We have people, you know, that... You mean you really expect me to come to every service? I believe so.
Amen.
That people that question baptism. Well, I want to wait a while. I'm saved, but I want to wait a while. One of the greatest manifestations of the approval of God upon His Son is when He's obedient to baptism. So it's one thing to know, another to do, and even further yet to surrender in obedience to the Word of God. Next, worship involves, and this is where the real sticky wicket comes today, worship often involves a costly presentation to God.
Amen.
Told Abraham, he said, take your son, the one that you love, I want you to take him out there and offer him as a burnt offering to me. Worship's not a cheap thing. To be offered carelessly or thoughtlessly. That's why so much of religion is not worship. It's not something that has to... that can be done to man's convenience. I heard the other day that I've read this about a year ago, but they've got a drive-in confessional. And seriously, they really do have drive-in funeral service. drive up, sign your name on the board, and the casket's laying in the window there, and you drive on out. You don't even have to get out of your car. Convenience of man. Don't have time to love one another. Don't have time to love God. Don't have time to give to God. And that's one of the very things that man is using as an excuse today for not being what we ought to be to God. What's our favorite excuse? I don't have time. Don't have time to go. Don't have time to visit. Don't have time to pray. What would we do if we had to go out on a 3-day journey like this? It's not something to be offered carelessly or thoughtlessly with no sense of cost involved. Most of what is done today is done with the same idea as McDonald's started with. Convenience, fast foods. Everything's got to be fast and instant. I believe that comes down to what he talks about in Malachi 1:8. He said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. It's not worship. God won't accept it. Romans 12:1, he says, present your bodies. That's what he means. Amen. You don't have to get a theologian to interpret that for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The only way you can do it, by God's grace. But that's how he wants it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's many a mention, and I probably don't need to mention it, but that means regenerated body with a regenerated spirit, born again, scripturally baptized, dressed the way that God wants it dressed. And I believe he means he wants short hair on men and long hair on women. I'm also a Baptist. I believe in everything Brother Senek said. And I won't redo all of that. But I believe in every one of them. The Baptist church is the church that Jesus built. You got to have a Baptist bride. There's just no way you can get away from it. It's not what we think. It's what God will accept, and all else is wasted time. So many times. In fact, almost all the time. People come to church if it's convenient. If it's not, they don't. There's no sacrifice. There's no giving up something else to come to church. We offer him the leftovers or spare time. But we want him to give us everything he's got. First fruits of our life to be his. Brother Senek mentioned the tithe and offering supposed to be his. Not later if we can afford it, first. Amen. God didn't bless my life until I started doing that either. I believe we're to come worship now and work later. I believe we're to serve him now and play later. Amen. David realized this. 2 Samuel, here's some more Old Testament, but I believe there's some great ideas, godly ideas in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel 24:24, David said, neither will I offer burnt offerings or sacrifices unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. It's not an offering. When Abraham said, I and the lad will go worship, he knew it could well cost him his son, because that's what God told him to offer. That's where the blessedness of the faith came. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, worship is spoken of as a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice denotes cost. How much of our worship today costs us much? Is Better Roses theology? Make a decision for Christ and all your troubles will be over. It's fun to be saved. Come to church and play games. Come to church. We got a room for your kids and your young people with a big screen television and all of that. I wonder what they're, if any of those folks are saved, I wonder what they're going to tell those martyrs there in Revelation 6, 10, and 11. Yeah. What are they going to tell those martyrs there when they said, Lord, how long before you avenge our blood? All those that died for the testimony of the Word of God. But you know what Jesus said? He said, until others have suffered like you have, I believe it's going to come again. I believe it's going to get a whole lot worse than it is. But true worship costs not only money sometimes, but time for spiritual preparation. And I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm talking about people. Time and effort of Bible study. We want spiritual churches. You can't have spiritual churches when your people set up till 12, 1 o'clock on Saturday night watching television. Come to church on Sunday morning and sit there and say, Lord, bless me. You know, that's what they want. They want to come in and somebody to dump it in their lap and so they can carry it out home. No effort, no sacrifice, nothing put out on their part whatsoever. True worship is going to cost some time for spiritual presentation. You're going to have to come to church. You're going to have to be saved in a church, but I believe to serve God, you've got to come to church. You want to really worship God, you've got to come to church. Put your light on the lampstand.
Amen.
Offer our glory and praise to Him. And that brings joy and glory to God.
Amen.
You know, John said he had no greater joy than to know that his children walked in the truth.
Amen.
There's no greater joy than that. You know why people are unhappy? Heart's not right with God. Not worshiping God. Next, worship necessitates a deliberate separation unto God. See how Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat. Abraham and Isaac, they left the two young men. Let them represent the world tonight or today. They separated them and went to worship God.
Amen,
that's simple things, easy to say, isn't it? Went to worship God. Not always so easy to do. As I said, I mentioned a little while ago, they wouldn't have understood what was going on. You know, the world doesn't understand us. I don't expect the world to understand us. I don't explain the things we do to the fellows at work.
Amen.
You go to somebody's house and try to explain them the doctrines of this book if they're not saved, they're not anything they're going to understand.
Amen.
Somebody says, come over and explain to me what you do over there and what you believe. The only thing you can ask them is if they're saved, and if they're not saved, that's the only thing you can tell them is how to be saved. Can't teach or argue doctrine.
Amen.
That's what a lot of people want to do. I believe praying is a great part of worship. I don't know what these two young men would have thought, but I believe I can think if they could have observed, and maybe they did, I don't know, Abraham take Isaac over there and tie him down on that altar, and get his knife ready, get the wood ready. If you do that today, you know that you just go to church 3 times a week, they think you've flipped your wicket. You're a fanatic. You can do anything else 5 days a week. You can bowl on 2 or 3 leagues. You can go to baseball, football, anything else. But don't, if you go to church 3 times a week, there's something drastically wrong with you. Even though it's in obedience to the command of the Word of God, to forsake not us the assembling of ourselves together. And see, that's where church is so important. I mean a true New Testament missionary Baptist church, because you just go out here in the field and assemble yourselves together, it wouldn't do you a bit of good. A lot of people try that. A lot of people have started false churches that way. There's not much worship there. It has to be in spirit and in truth. We come to worship now, today. We must come as Abraham. That's the apostles. I want to read you one important little piece of Scripture. Matthew 28. I think this was the key to much of it. And so often we overlook it. But our people need to see this. We need to emphasize it. In verse 16 of Matthew 28, it said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." Amen. Same way with Abraham. He says, "You get to the place where I tell you to go." And that's the place of blessing. Amen. That's another sermon. Are you there? Are you at the place where God told you to go or wants you to be? Real worship necessitates a deliberate separation unto God from the world. Leave the world, the cares of the world. And this is very important. I believe it is. You can come to church and not worship God.
Amen.
Leave your business cares at home. Leave your dealings at home.
Amen,
you're coming to this place for no other reason than to worship a great Almighty God.
Amen.
The one that loved you when you're unlovable.
Amen.
And while you were yet sinners, sent his own Son.
Amen.
To come and be born of a virgin. Live a perfect, sinless life. And all the while he lived that life, he was looking toward Calvary's cross, knowing that one day what he'd have to do. There in the garden as he prayed, it said he sweat great drops of blood. Or as it were, great drops of blood. Then as he went to Calvary's cross and shed that blood, that we might have life. We assembled to worship him. No other reason. Our finances, our worries, our cares, our families, whatever's necessary, we leave behind as we come in and concentrate on praising the Lord.
Amen.
Raising Him up.
Amen.
The intruding thoughts that might hinder and block worship. And Satan will try. You and your wife got along good all week. You'll argue on Sunday morning about something. Or your kids. I've been preaching to my people. God didn't give you anything. A wife, children, a home, a job. God didn't give you any of those things to keep you from coming to church. And if you don't think God gave it to you, we've got the wrong attitude to start with. Everything I have, I got from the Lord. And we worry about a lot of things, and our thoughts are on many different things. I believe when old Abraham took Isaac out there, he had only one thing on his mind. offering Isaac. Obedience and to the command of the Lord. So we're privileged people.
Amen.
Privilege brings responsibility. Hebrews 10:22. But having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Worship calls for spiritual activity, an exercise of faith. We need to do as Abraham did. We need to ascend the heights of faith and obedience. But last point, true worship, Philippians 3:3. Those who worship God in spirit rejoices in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And has no confidence in the flesh. You know, almost everything that people do around about me is they're absolutely, completely controlled and dominated by the desires of the flesh. We must come to God in Christ and through Christ and